All right, as we dive into this new year, I just feel led that as a faith word for Calvary, that way I want to encourage us to anchor ourselves as a church as we step into 2025, believing God for greater things. And for the greater things that God wants to do, and as we live with a sense of expectation and a confidence that our God is with us, that he desires to do an amazing work in our life that is to our good. He wants to do greater things in your family. He wants to do greater things in your friend's life. He wants to do things in a greater scale than what we'd ever ask, think, or imagine. In fact, this is the fun part. There's another birthday we get to celebrate today. Are you ready for this? Calvary Church is 98 years old. It was in January in 1928. No, 1927. I had the year wrong. I knew I was 28 was wrong. It was in 1927, two ladies, Ida Olson and Louise Arnold, started Calvary Church as a prayer meeting. And so as a house of prayer, and it's amazing, every day we're walking in the ripple effects of the prayers of the people that have gone before us. So we're still, when you say that prayer has no power, don't buy that lie of the enemy. Do not believe it, because we are still walking in the prayers of Ida. We're still walking in the prayers of Louise. We're still walking in the ripple effects of faith. And what are our ripple effects of faith? And that's the prayer, that's the part I want to challenge us on in a greater way. Is what are you believing God for in 2025? Because your prayers are key to seeing the greater work that we all long to be. And our theme verse is Ephesians 3:20, and I like the Message paraphrase. God can do anything, you know, far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. He does it not by pushing us around, but by working within us. See, I love that. Because I love that visualness, because too many people feel like when you approach God, it's just, God does not view you as a puppet. You're not on a set of strings with God. You have a free will. But God, when we invite him to work in a greater way and we walk this life of faith, one of the amazing parts is God will do a work in us. It's just not upon us, it's in us. That he wants to do a greater work and do a greater measure in our life. So what you believe about God will determine if you're going to believe him for all the things that you want to see him do in your life. And if you're going to believe in him for the many things that you long for God to do, it's going to depend on you praying for those things to become a reality. You have to ask. You have to seek. You have to knock. Last week, we began this series with a great illustration of this desire of the greater, and it's coming from the life of a man named Jabez. We learned in 1st and 2nd Chronicles that the books were written by a man named Ezra. He's a scribe, he's a teacher of God's word, and Ezra is coming to their people in a very dark part in the nation of Israel's history. Because the people had gone through such a difficult time, he starts writing literally lists of people, which we can get when we're doing our yearly reading. We get to this part and you're just like, ah. Because all it is father and son. It's family generations that it's so easy to read through and think of it meaningless. And yet Ezra was reminding us, hey, this has been going on long before you showed up. There's been a movement of God that is continuing. Just like in the life of Calvary Church, it started with the faith of two ladies. But guess what? It's continuing on. It's a life faith. Do we have a living faith today? And Ezra is trying to remind and encourage his people to keep trusting God again, because they had gotten to a point where they quit trusting on God. Calvary Church is not there. Amen? And we're believing God, trusting him for even greater things, because the greatest days have not been written in our life or this church's life. But are you facing a difficult time in your life today? Guess what? This message is for you. If you're in a discouraging point, you need to hear the word from God today, because what we find from the life of Jabez is one of the most beautiful parts of a prayer that is prayed, not because this person is so eloquent with words, it's because he was just at a point, there is nothing else that could come through to make an impact in his life other than God showing up. There wasn't going to be anything from a lineage side of his family to influence it to be better. There wasn't going to be any riches he could do. I mean, there's a point when you get down to it, when there's nothing else you can do, and you're forced to only depend on God. And this is where Jabez begins to pray. And so it's from that heartfelt, guttering depth that Jabez prays this prayer. And so we see Ezra writing a list of these names, and he gets to this guy, Jabez, and he stops to tell us there's something important you need to know about this man named Jabez. Because Jabez, his name, well, we'll get to it. Look at it. 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verses 9 through 10. Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, "Because I bore him in pain." Jabez called upon the Lord of Israel, saying, "Oh, that you would bless me, enlarge my border, and that your hand might be with me, and that you would keep me from harm, so that it might not bring me pain." And God granted what he asked. See, we discovered last week, Jabez was a very interesting story. And I encourage you, go back and listen to last week's message, because we learned a lot about Jabez, just the fact that his name has a Hebrew sound. It's a play on words, because it sounds and it's a derivative of the Hebrew word that means pain. And it means more than just a painful childbirth. It means more. Many Bible scholars believe that there was a season of pain that was going on in Jabez's family. And so Jabez's name becomes a synonymous with the pain that was going on in his family. And what's amazing in that we find, and many people, we take up the same response to life. Because maybe you've had a hard life, and you're just sitting there going, is God really real? Does really God really understand my zip code of my pain? See, Jabez was a part that his name even symbolized what was worse, the brokenness of his condition, of his family's condition, that the pain of the family became his identity. So think about all the dark and maybe some of the skeletons of your own family. Every family has some skeletons, right? At least we do. And what's amazing is how about your name becoming the target or the bullseye, the portrait of all of what's wrong in your family? And so it easily will affect your prayers. And so you can come to Christ, you can watch Jesus come into your life and start to break many things. And yet, if we're not careful, we could allow that identity from the past to overwhelm even our ability to ask God to do greater things in our life. And we need to allow God to rewrite a story and a narrative of whose we are and whose name we're speaking, because it's not dependent on what's in the past or even in the present in your family or in your life. And so today, there's great news for everybody in this room. God can bring you not only out of your past, but he can bring you from that past into a whole new you. Not just a new story, not just a new situation, but God brings a whole new you to the equation. And there is this blessing of God that can rest on your life that is harder than you can ever ask, think, or imagine. But that's the greater that God has. So when we look at this man named Jabez, this man who's plagued by the past, his life is summing up his name, and it's his identity, how do you make a change? How does one even have the ability, which is amazing when you look at verse 9, is that he was more honorable than his brothers. So here's a guy that symbolized the worst, and yet he was more honorable than even anybody else in his family. And yet we get to this, what could make this person so influential and honorable, even in spite of all the pain that he faced? And the answer is one statement: he prayed. And he prayed, and over the next several weeks, we're going to look at the four requests that he made in a simple prayer. And we look at the first, and it's that in verse 10. is that Jabez prayed that God would bless him. Look at it again. Jabez called upon the Lord of Israel, "Oh, that you would bless me." The New American Standard Version says it this way. Now Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that you would greatly bless me." And just for a point of emphasis, because I believe the NASB and even the King James Version gets us a little closer to the Hebrew in what it's meaning in its translation. So look at it in the King James. And Jabez called upon the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that you wouldest," I love that, "yeah, you wouldest bless me indeed." That you would bless me indeed. See, there's an interesting part in the Hebrew that if you translated it exactly into English, what this would say is that, "Oh God, would you bless me?" It would be writing "bless" twice. "Oh, that you would bless me." Because we don't talk "bless me," too many times the translations, just to simplify, just go "bless me." But it's missing the emphasis, which I love the King James, is it's getting to the point that you would bless me indeed. Not just bless me, but God, oh, indeed bless me. Give me a double blessing, God. Give me a double blessing. Bless me. Bless me in a way that is not normal. So in other words, Jabez is saying, "God, I just don't want just a blessing, but I want a double blessing. God, that you would do a work in my life in a huge way, doubly than what you did in the last week. God, I want your blessing on my life, and not just any blessing, but I want an uncommon blessing." Do you want a double blessing today? Do you want a unique blessing that is unique to your life? See, that's what Jabez was praying, is, "God, I don't want an ordinary blessing. In fact, my situation and my story, my past dictates I can't just have a blessing, just a blessing. I need a blessing that is unique to my story." And what's so loving about this is that we've got a God that loves it when we come to him with our whole heart. God will do a unique work in our life. Because what happens when we begin to get to what we can see in this life is when we trust God and we invite him to do the work that's unique that he wants to do in us, you will watch God do an amazing work. But too often times, we allow the conditions of the past to influence how we would pray. Too often times, we would be feeling like, "Why would God want to even do that? I mean, why would God even want to do a work in me?" And this is where we need to be reminded that there is something special that God wants to do. And so as we're making a look at Jabez, there's something interesting that I want you to be able to make sure you capture. So look at the verses before verses 9 and 10. Let's look at 1 Chronicles verses 6 through 8. Because it's listing out all these genealogies. Nerah bore him, and you can list the name of his sons. These were the sons of Nerah. There's the sons of Halah, and you can begin to see the name. Kaz fathered. Do you see the pattern? You see the dad and then the listing of their sons. Then you look at the verses after verses 11 and 12 afterwards, and it says this, verse 11, Chelub, the brother of Shua, fathered. And then you could hear Meir, who fathered. And then Ishton, who fathered. And Tinna, the father of, do you get the point? You're seeing all these fathers and then all these sons, but you get to Jabez in between these, and it starts by talking about how honorable Jabez was, but you don't hear about Jabez's dad. And there is no scripture. You're left clueless. At this point, father could have deserted the family. Father could have died. We have no idea about Jabez's dad and why. But here's the part. God is willing to break any pattern for you. So anything that culture has told you, any pattern, you just need to know that God wants to do a unique work, and that includes to bless you and bless your life. He wants to do that type of a work in and through you, and this is what I love, is because so many points you can come to the Lord and say, "God, I wanted you to do a greater work in my life, but who am I? Who am I? I'm a nobody." And there's parts, I can remember even at North Central feeling this way a little bit, because I would hear classmates that had been in the Assemblies of God forever, all right? I mean, even though we're all 19, 20 years old, I only came into the Assemblies of God when I got saved right at the end of my freshman year, so just right before I turned 16. And so when I even got to North Central, I'm learning all the different AG-isms that were out there. My home church was a very contemporary church of its day, even though we were out in western Nebraska. It was much more like a Californian church, really, and very contemporary. And what I loved about hearing some of my other classmates, they knew so many different preachers out there. This pastor had preached at their church, and so they had all these connections that when we started getting close to graduation, I'm hearing, oh yeah, I know this person. This person's the district youth director, and they know the superintendent. They can get me into this church. And I'm hearing all this, and I'm just sitting there. There's parts. I'm thinking, oh, I'm a nobody from western Nebraska. And there's a part that maybe you might find yourself in that same part going, yeah, I want God to do greater things in my life, my marriage, in my life, but who am I? And here's the great thing. God looks to the heart, not to your past, not to your lack, or even to your surplus. God can do a unique work when you trust him. And this is the part that I want to make sure that as we pray this prayer, as we make this a passion to a resolve for greater faith, to believe God for the greater, is that we don't allow ourselves to talk ourselves out of God's work in our life. Because God, when we look at Jabez, here's a guy that's a nobody from nowhere. You don't hear about his dad. And yet, God used him that his prayer, it just wasn't his lineage that got repeated. Didn't talk about Jabez's sons. But what we did get from God's word is his prayer. And I believe that there's parts when you can keep diving in throughout different prayers in Scripture. And I encourage you, you want a good Bible study, that's a great one. Because what's so great is we can battle that feeling of things from the past, the things you feel like you lack. Well, I'm not the greatest Bible person, so there's no way God could do a work in me. I'm not the most praying person. Here's the part. When we take steps of faith to trust God in a greater way, and we get to the heartfelt prayer to continually be in his presence and to trust him, guess what God will do? He'll do a double blessing if we ask for it. So I pray that you're seeing Jabez and know that God is not a respecter of persons. He wants to bless you. He wants to touch you. He wants to work in your life. And he'll do it if we trust him. Bruce Wilkinson, who wrote the best-selling book, Prayer of Jabez, a little over 20 years ago, that really helped bring the prayer of Jabez back to the public domain. Grateful for his work. And he wrote several different books over the years. And I really loved connecting on this part because he writes about in kind of a follow-up of different things that he, as he hears the prayer of Jabez, as other churches start to adapt it, and some points they've got a lot of misconceptions about it. Or people hear about it and get a little judgmental on it. But he had three misconceptions, and I want you to, I think they're important for you because these misconceptions are what many people could have, and they're just important that I wanted to share with you. First, the misconception is magical praying. See, the blessing misconception is that the prayer of Jabez always works. You just say the words. Here's the deal. Prayer, whether alone it's the prayer of Jabez, is prayer is an expression of your heart to God. It's not a matter of you reciting words. So it's not having a liturgy, even though you could do that as a point of worship. But here's the specific words of the prayer. You don't say it as some type of incantation or a formula, and that somehow God is obligated to listen to you. But rather, go back to the story of Jabez, who was at the lowest lows of his life. And he offered this, in his darkest moment, a plea, a cry out to God to change him. Misconception two, selfish praying. See, there's a blessing misconception that I can't pray the prayer of Jabez because it's not right to pray about yourself or for yourself. And I find this happening a lot. Because there's just a part where you're, some of it could be from the past where you feel like, it's like inconveniencing people. There's a part where, should I really talk to God about this? This doesn't feel right. I should just be, just praising him, right? Because he's God. Why should I say all what's going on in my life and what I want him to do? And this is the beautiful part about our God, is he wants a relationship with you. And trust me, God is more interested in us declaring and asking him to do greater things in our life that we trust for him to do what we could never do on our own. And when we start to pray those types of prayers, thinking less of ourselves but what God can do, and that God could answer any problem, one of the great amazing parts is you'll watch this misconception just drop by the wayside. Because what happens if people will, especially when you're coming from a Jabez moment, when you're at ground zero in a very dark time, it's so easy to transpose the feelings and thoughts, and you bring it to your relationships, not only your earthly family, but also you carry those to your relationship with God. And this prayer of Jabez is a reminder that we can ask God from the very darkest moment, God, I need you to come through. I can't just stay in life like this anymore. I need you desperately to come into my life and to do more. The third and final misconception is it's a get-rich scheme. Blessing misconception is if you want to get rich, you pray the prayer of Jabez. See, and this is the amazing part, is there's some truth to it. Unfortunately, we've had a lot of prosperity preachers, and they're just not on TV. You can see them online now. That will talk about having faith. And you know what? There's a lot of truth to what they preach. But you just got to know it's just not about a prosperity of finances. And that's where the American culture can really warp and miss the nuggets, because too many times pastors will back off from it. And yet there's truth that God wants to prosper you, but to think of it only through a financial lens is so short-sighted and so narrow that, yes, that is true. So if you need a financial miracle, guess what? God is a God. He's Jehovah Jireh. He can provide for you. And you will watch a financial blessing that when you commit your finances, just as Pastor Stacy mentioned earlier when we did our offering, we don't give because of some obligation. We give as a worship. And when we start to walk into that and realize God wants to bless you, and that's what the Hebrew side brings, just like peace is multi-layered. It's just not talking about a lack of conflict. You could be in the middle of conflict and still have peace. It's that same principle. You could be in the middle and praying, God, I need your blessing. And yet God will bless you, maybe not financially, but guess what? He'll bless you with health. He'll bless you physically. He'll bless you mentally. He'll bless you emotionally. There's parts. He will bless you on so many different levels that we would totally miss out if all your focus myopically is about finance. And yet, you need to know that God can bless you financially in this. But don't let the fixation of what American culture does, and let it rob you from the blessing that God wants to do on your life. In fact, that's the part when we go back to the root, that this prayer is a gut-level call for God to doubly bless him in the unique part of his family's deepest parts of pain. That's right there helps us to get rid of the motives that, God, I am more interested in you doubly blessing my life. I don't care how you do it. I just want to see it. I need you in my life. However you choose to do it, here I am. See, that begins to settle. And let me give you a scripture to settle this in your heart, because God is a God who loves to give good gifts. He wants to bless you. And we saw this last spring when we were early in our James series, James chapter 1, verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, whom there is no variation of shadow due to change. Every good thing in life comes from God. Every good thing I have in this life is from him. And I love how Bruce Wilkinson states it, and this is a great quote. Therefore, since he is the one who gives you good things, your food, boy, do you take a prayer and thank God before you eat? Your health, your friends, the very air you breathe. And see, he wants you to have his good gifts. Doesn't it make sense to turn to him often and to thank him and even ask him for more in the future? And he goes on, boy, if you want to be postured for God in this prayer, that he would doubly bless you, worship team, if you'd come. In 2025, God wants to show you his favor, his blessing, his glory, his forgiveness, his compassion, his grace, his mercy. He wants to show it all in your life. But are you hungry for more? Are you hungry for greater? Are you willing to ask God to bless your life with just not a blessing, but a doubly blessing, a bless me? That God would do a work that's unique to your story and to your life, that is unique to just you. It's where you get your eyes off of others and you just say, God, I want you to work in my life that's special just to me. Like a love note, God wants to do that for you. He wants to bless you. He wants to show up in your life in such a special, unique way. Are you going to give him a chance? Are you going to give him the opportunity? And it all begins when we begin to praise him and to lift our life up to him. Because you know what? God loves your uniqueness. He loves you. He loves your quirks. And we all got them. He loves your quirks. He loves your personality. He loves every aspect. And you know what? He loves your faults. That's hard to get around. Because we struggle with them, right? Our faults that we can sit there and feel that very well disqualify us from as a leader, as a follower. Guess what? God still loves you in spite of all that. Because he loves you. And he's committed to those who love him. And that's where Romans brings it back. He will turn all things to the good. All things to the good for those that love him. That's what's such a great thing. He wants to do good in your life. He wants to do good in your life in a greater way. Are you willing to ask God for it? Heavenly Father, thank you that we can come to a God who sees us. God, our pain, our story is not oblivious to you. God, you see it all. And so, Lord, we are here and we invite you into this place. We invite you to the good God who delights and who does good because he is good. That, God, you will do the good in our lives. God, we need your unique work in our lives. We need your blessing upon our lives. So would you come on us today? God, we delight in you. Do your work in our lives in a greater way than ever before. We ask a double blessing in our life, in our marriages, in our workplace, in everything that we do, in every area. God, we pray in Calvary Church, we pray for a double blessing, a greater blessing so that we can bless others and lead them to you. We praise you, God. To you we pray. With every head bowed, I have to ask this today. To understand this blessing, God's desire and to work in your life, to start it, it's to see that blessing, it's all a step of faith, and it all starts with, are you living and letting him lead your guy, your life, and are you asking him to be your only way of salvation? It's not by your works. It's not by whatever good thing you feel like you could do. Your salvation is based only on what Jesus has done. And if you're here today and you know, man, I'm trusting in a lot of other things. I'm letting a lot of other things lead my life. In fact, I just lead my own life. And guess what? That's going to be a very disappointing thing to allow that to happen because it'll take you down every bad road. But if you're here today, and you know you need to turn the reins of leadership over to God. So maybe it's the first time, or maybe this morning you need to rededicate your relationship, your faith to Him. Because guess what? God doubly wants to bless you in a unique blessing way that brings good to your life. But the only way you'll find it is when you turn your life to Him in full. So if that's you today and you need to turn your heart and your life to Him, and you need to do that first time or rededication, would you just look my way because I want to pray with you. Is there anyone here today? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Is there others? I want everyone to say this prayer with me because this is the great part to start that relationship. That step of faith to trust Him will sound more like a prayer, but really, again, like Jabez's prayer, it was a call to God. And this is a call. Very relational. Pray this with me. Dear Jesus, thank you for loving me. Forgive me of my sin. Living life my own way. Forgive me. Come into my life. Be my leader and my Savior. Jesus, I trust only in you. Bless me today. Do a new work in me. I give my life to you. In Jesus' name. Amen. See, one of the amazing parts of leading that life of faith is that prayer isn't something you pray one time. I'm just telling you every day, God, I need to continue to rely on you. Lead my life. Be my Savior. But God, be my guide. Correct me when I need to be corrected. Guide me as I go in my day. A few moments, you'll be in a restaurant, and you know what? The day will be going on. Are you going to let God continue to guide you? It's a heart posture. That's why we come back to prayer. It's why this prayer is important, because it's a reminder that God wants to bless and lead you into a greater way. So for those of you that prayed that prayer, man, there is no football stadium that's going to rock any louder. In fact, it won't even come close to what heaven's doing. As they're celebrating that step of faith that you made,